There are ripples in the fabric of space. Time. So be my Valentine. Oh, that was so sweet. I thought, boy, they're going to think I'm pretty sweet for coming up with a space-time Valentine rhyme.
I liked it.
What do you know?
Not much, you.
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we talk with comedian and Bob's Burgers star, Eugene Merman, plus all the news that isn't, and a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's thinking Mars trip just for the climate, Michael Feldman.
Gotta be better. Well, there is a gravity wave advisory in effect till Sunday morning, so you'll want to stay indoors. I got really excited when I heard about this whole thing, you know, I thought they said gravy waves. I don't know why that it's not even a sentence, really. Gravy waves is not even a concept. Wavy gravy is a little bit different. That's possible. Gravy waves. A gravy wave has struck the earth. When I see gravity, I read gravy. It's a little thing I got. Anyway, proves that Einstein was right, like he needs to hear that again. Confirmation of gravity waves finally explains Einstein's hair, ladies and gentlemen. Those are gravity waves. You got a gravity wave. It looks good on him. So a burst of gravitational waves arrives after 1.3 billion years. Only one question. Where the heck have you been? Gravity waves. Gravity waves hitting the Earth with 30 times the mass of the sun at the speed of light explosion have got nothing on Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen. Let's put things in perspective. Okay, a butterfly flaps its wings in the Amazon, and Jim Gilmore drops out of the Republican race or a Democratic race. I don't know what race he was in, to tell you the truth. He was running for one of those. And that same butterfly wakes Ben Carson out of a sound sleep. Little known fact that Ben Carson wears his mask over his eyes when he operates. That's just Dr. Carson there. You don't have to worry about him. Brain surgeon, too. That's a good thing. All right, let's see then. At the Hillary-Bernie debate in Milwaukee, both candidates struggle with the bubbler question. Sanders is considered the winner because he did not wear yellow. Electric banana yellow. Let's see, after Trump calls Cruz what that lady said, thousands of New Hampshire ladies agree. Okay, never mind. The lady and the Trump. Call that one. Thank you. All right, that you like. Never know with you people. You know, this, and then suddenly, you know, okay. You're with me, you're not with me, you're with me. I don't care. Don't toy with me. That's all I ask. Lady and Trump. Okay, Marco Rubio tells his boys, 8 and 10, that the bleeped Trump reference was another name for a cat. So now the kids think it's fair to call someone a Grimalkin. See, if you knew that was another name for a cat, you'd find that most amusing. Grimalkin. Okay, never mind. Rubio had more trouble explaining how he was the pretty face in a porn star's endorsement. It's complicated, kids. In Mexico, someone steals the rims off the Pope Mobile. Should be easy to find the guy around town, no? Another look at the Super Bowl 50 tape shows that the North Korean satellite passed directly over Cam Newton just as he was considering what to do about the game-losing fumble. Anyone would look up at that. Turns out Kim Jong-un's money was on the Broncos, ladies and gentlemen. Explains so much, and yet so little. Kim Jong-un executes another uncle to clear up the seating problem at the reunion. One hallelujah and some pot, and the last ranch hand is out of the Oregon compound. huge pile of bean cans left behind in Oregon. Reveals it was one long Blazing Saddles, ladies and gentlemen. Global slide in stocks, seen as boon for those of us who didn't want to retire anyway. Converted my SEP IRA into a SUC IRA. S-U-C. Scientists at Johns Hopkins create mini brains in the lab that could be ready for the 2020 Republican convention. Kanye West says Cliff Huxtable could never have done all those things. That's the Bill Cosby he knows. And finally, and I mean that, a study shows that 46% of women everywhere, that's a good figure, 46% of women everywhere are disappointed when they receive flowers for Valentine's Day. 59% are humiliated receiving anything from Victoria's Secret. And 100% are PO'd to receive Kohl's cash for Valentine's Day. That's all the news that is, and thank you so much. And hang on to your Kohl's cash. It's worth money. The governor uses it. Oh, yeah. Yes, Governor Walker actually owes $1 million from his campaign, but it's all in Kohl's cash, so he's in business. Eugene Merman is a brilliant fellow who's also a comic fellow. And you know him probably from Bob's Burgers. He's one of those guys in Bob's Burgers. We'll find out which one in just a moment here. He's talking to us from Saratoga Springs, New York, and I don't know why that would be, but we'll find out. Saratoga Springs, are you here?
Yeah.
Yes? Where? Where? Yes? Who? Where? You're from there?
Used to live there.
Huh?
Used to live there.
He used to live there?
Yeah.
And you did as well? Did you live there as well? In Saratoga Springs? Would he know you if I mentioned your name?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. What is your name then? What's your name?
Jan.
Jan what?
Perrin.
John Perrin?
Jan Perrin.
Eugene Merman?
Hello.
Hi. Do you know Jan Perman? Perman?
I don't believe so, do I?
From Saratoga Springs?
Oh, I'm just here because I performed at Skidmore last night. I'm not from Saratoga Springs.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, so you wouldn't know her then. She claimed you did.
Oh, she's not necessarily wrong, but I don't know her because she's from Saratoga Springs.
Not for that reason. Would you know her for some? Would you know her for some other reason than the fact that you're from there?
Outstanding personality.
No, that couldn't be it.
I don't know everyone with an outstanding personality. I just know a handful of people with outstanding personalities.
Yeah. Outstanding. Bills, yes. That's a different thing. How did it go last night?
Good. It was fun.
Yeah. What killed them in Saratoga Springs?
You know, the usual jokes.
That's all you're going to give me?
It's a roundabout way of you saying, tell me a joke, so I think yes.
You can if you'd like to. Could you tell me?
No, I wouldn't. I'd rather keep it a mystery.
Okay. I'm sorry, Your Welcome is out now. This is like an 8-volume CD.
Yeah. I mean, other than it's not on CD, but it's digital and vinyl. Yeah.
It's digital and vinyl.
And it's available as a chair and a robe.
As a what?
That's right.
Chair and a robe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the chair is sold out, but the robe is still available.
I'm sorry, You're Welcome. 8 volumes. War and Peace was only 3 in an epilogue, as I recall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, it's really the conclusion of War and Peace.
Yeah. So you're saying it's War and Peace, War and Peace, War and Peace, basically, or War
in
End.
In a sense, yeah.
War End at that point.
War and Peace, and I'm sorry, You're Welcome.
I'm sorry, You're Welcome. Does that reflect your philosophy in general?
It does about a 9-volume set.
Well, you know, it's not disappointing because it's 8 volumes as I counted. But anyhow, seven of them are actually sound effects that you make.
Well, yeah.
There's only one volume of content, and so far.
Well, no, there's one volume of stand-up, one of sound effects. There's 45 minutes of crying. There's a whole lot of stuff.
I know, but that's what it is. All the 7 are all a whole lot of stuff, but there's only one volume, that first one of a show you did.
Of stand-up, yeah.
Of stand-up you did in Seattle, I guess, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it must have been a good night in Seattle anyway.
The night in Seattle was a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah.
What it was three nights blended together seamlessly.
Oh, I see. What did they like in Seattle? What killed them in Seattle?
Same stuff that worked at Saratoga.
Same as Saratoga Springs, yeah.
A lot, yeah. Jokes that involve, just a mirror to our society.
Yeah. Is that what you provide?
In pieces.
Yeah. It's a funhouse mirror with you. And also in Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
You play, I'm sorry, who was that in Bob's Burgers that you play?
Gene
Belcher, is that right?
Yeah.
Gene Belcher, yeah. Is the Belcher due to the fact that he also makes a lot of sound effects? All the sound effects you could come out of you, right?
On the album, yeah. On the show, I think they sometimes add sound effects to mimic a sound effect voice machine.
Yeah, but you are almost a human sound effect machine in a lot of senses.
On the album, I am. I mean, it isn't the best. Like, I wouldn't. I mean, you can use it to do Foley with, but it'll sound like a person making weird sounds.
Yeah, that's exactly, and that's a unique concept, really, for a comedy album.
Yeah.
Someone who does not so good, vocalizations of sound effects.
Yeah, but there's there's also a meditation. There's a whole lot of stuff.
And the crying is very realistic. Is that something you pride yourself in? Or?
I cried for 45 minutes and recorded it.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to buy an album with a sticker that says featuring over 45 minutes of crying?
I know. Can we play a little clip from if you wouldn't mind? Just the best of Belcher on Bob's Burgers. It's just some idea of what we're talking about here. Best of Bob's
It
Burgers.
Does robot voice, laser sound, and fart noise. Why do I have to get molested? No, that's a myth. You have no idea what I've just been through. Do I have any toilet paper stuck to my buns?
Oh, God.
You did!
I'm on it!
Yeah, I don't think so. I can't believe it.
Dad, it's Gene.
Yes, Gene, go ahead.
Dad?
Yes?
I think we have a bad connection. I'll call you back.
Oh, God.
You're a couple of sluts!
Gene.
What?
Stop.
So far, I just got the title. History. A blast from the past.
Okay. After we get my parents settled, your father's gonna help you with that, right, Bob?
Have it on my desk by 5. Do you see a lion or a witch or a wardrobe?
A what?
A lion, a witch, or a wardrobe!
Why are you saying that, Gene?
It's a book.
Oh, right. A kid's book, yeah.
Yeah, by Salman Rushdie.
It's not by Salman Rushdie.
Of course it is.
It isn't.
Yes, it is.
I'm not gonna talk to you anymore, Gene. I'm in a wall. Go look it up, though.
I just did. It's Salman Rushdie. My grandparents are staying with us, and they were both alive during Prohibition. So, this is what it sounds like when they have sex in the room next to mine.
Ow! 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 Ow!
What?
Ow!
Principal's ow. Office now!
Ow! Ow!
Right.
Well, I have a room to refart.
Okay, let's end it on that. We didn't know which one to end that on, but there was. That's just volume one of the best of. Now, some of those were you, clearly you, I think.
The voice parts were me. Anything that sounds like a laser was someone using the sound effect of a laser.
Yeah, that I got. I know.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. You know what I that on the album here, actually, when you talked about the Whole Foods and the pictures thing,
mm-hmm.
because they were going to let it open up Whole Foods to art displays and such?
Yes, they opened a Whole Foods near my house where they were going to have a lot of local artists displaying art, so I decided that I would make art to feature at Whole Foods. But it's hard to get your artwork in Whole Foods, it turns out.
It is?
It turns out it is. It is. Yeah, I think that they have art events, but they don't really display people's art next to the broccoli.
Well, they don't. That's disappointing, actually.
I know. You're disappointed. Think about me. I bothered to make paintings.
Yes. And, I saw this on some, the best comedians of 1990 or something like that. And you did this thing with art, with paintings. And they were good.
Thank you.
They were like Kandinsky meets Grandma Moses. They're kind of primitive.
Yeah. No, I have my own unique style that's going to really change the landscape of paintings.
Yeah. And I mean, are you an artist? Do you paint? Do you, when you're not doing this?
I mean, the literal answer is yes.
Yes.
But the figurative answer would be not really.
Okay. This is going well, don't you think?
I think so.
If you got to characterize it. I also, and you know, I'm wondering, I have your live subscriber count here on, for some reason, on Social Blade YouTube, which is 3,337. That's pretty good, I think.
Sure. Well,
do you keep tabs of this? It's not, you don't make a living at this, do you?
At comedy or at YouTube?
At YouTube. Your YouTube.
At YouTube, no. I don't make a living from YouTube, though some people do.
Yeah, you are highly searched on YouTube, though. But yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I am searched.
The overall earnings I see here are between 32 cents and $5, so that's not encouraging as far as income.
Oh, I don't think I've ever checked into YouTube for money, so I don't know.
Okay, I just thought you might like to know that. I was just looking
I mean, I wonder if I collect the $5 over the last, I guess since 2005, maybe. Yeah. Maybe I could buy a house, a very tiny house.
Yeah. And then you're also kind of a social activist, because I saw this thing about you Portsmouth parking.
Yes.
The comedian blast Portsmouth parking and full page ad.
Yeah. I got a parking ticket for being parked backwards in a place where you wouldn't know that you couldn't do that. And so I paid the ticket. And then I took out a full page ad in their summer guide complaining about their rules.
Yes.
Or not. Complaining about the fact that there's no way to know that rule.
No vehicle shall remain backed up to the curb.
Yeah, I found it later in their ordinances when I scoured their government website.
Yeah. And did you win the case, at least in the public view?
In the public view, yes, because it trended and then became it really works. Like, if you ever are mad at something, I really recommend taking out a full-page ad.
It's expensive, though.
But you really get your message out there.
Yeah.
Not as expensive as advertising.
That's true.
Like in across a lot of platforms.
Yeah, you know, and as this, all eight volumes of this are interesting. But I was going through these things, and one of them is about sounds of various well-known and not so well-known people make during orgasm. Is that correct?
It's done. I first of all, I love that interpretation. It's just like a little like 200 orgasm sounds.
Yes. A little shy of 200.
That all are titled. I think that's where maybe the confusion comes in. There's 198 orgasms that each have a title.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
True.
Oh, okay. So it's more of an artistic thing once again. It's not so much a celebrity orgasm.
It isn't celebrities orgasming, though. Let me just say that's a great idea.
Volume 10.
You should do an outreach.
Eugene Merman, Volume 10, Celebrity Organs. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the thinking behind that, if any?
Oh, that it was a ridiculous thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ludicrous to make 198 orgasm sounds and put them out as one of the volumes on your album and then give each one a title.
It is.
And then get to say, like, featuring 198 orgasms. Again, like something somebody, like, has always sought out, but is only now made available.
Yeah. And is that a crowd pleaser? Or is that mainly amusing to you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know how to answer it since you asked me about it. So
I know.
Completely effective.
Yeah, I know. I actually did really like it, but then I looked at what it was. I didn't realize I was listening to.
Yeah. No, I mean, is it moderately upsetting? Yeah. Do I listen to it? Absolutely not.
Yeah. Okay.
But is it a really funny, ridiculous thing to do? I guess I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. There's two things on the album that are more like silly concept things, and everything else is, you know, largely meant to be listened to.
Meant to be listened to.
Like a meditation. You can listen to that. That's fun.
Meditation.
That's a good time.
Yeah.
Relaxing and silly.
Very good. And the Russian lessons I found actually useful.
Yes, they're fairly accurate.
Yeah.
My brother, when he listened to it, told me that I both knew more and less Russian than he thought.
Yeah, because you left when you were, what, four and a half, something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Was your Russian must have been impeccable at that point, even as a four-year-old?
It was better than my English at the time, but now my English is a little bit better.
Yeah. Can we play a little bit of that? Because I like one of the...
Totally.
Just a little bit here from that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know where to buy drugs on an airplane. Я не знаю, где покупать наркотики на самолете. My butt is inside the car. Моя попа в машине. Your butt is inside a camel. Твоя попа в верблюде. Your butt is crying. Твоя попа плакает. Don't use a theater like a bathroom. Не используйте театр как туалет. Television is very pleasant. Телевизор очень приятный. I would like to have a son that could fly. Я хочу иметь сына, кто может летать. I really like Jews. Мне очень нравятся евреи. Do you know where they, the Jews, sell dead horses? Вы знаете, где они,
евреи,
продают мертвые лошади? Which one of you guys plays the balalaika? Кто из вас играет балалайку? Your cow is very soft. Твоя корова очень мягкая. I want to play with men. Я хочу играть с мужчинами. My sausages don't fit in your car. Мои сосиски не помещаются в твоей машине. I want to open a company that sells two things, flour and blood. Я хочу открыть компанию, которая продает две вещи. Муку и кровь. I got drunk last night and accidentally killed a bird. Я напился вчера вечером и нечаянно убил птицу. I got drunk last night and accidentally killed a bird with my sword. Я вчера вечером напился и нечаянно убил птицу с моей саблей. You are a very pleasant idiot. Ты очень приятный дурак. I really like the smell in your mouth. Мне очень нравится запах в твоем рту. How much science do you have? Сколько у вас науки?
Oh, that it ends with that. Okay. What's so funny about that, besides the fact that it's so funny, is that you feel some of those phrases might actually be useful in Russia.
Yeah. Especially you could really, really get around.
Yeah. Especially the flower and blood. I like that. You know?
Yeah, yeah. People would know what you were saying. They would just wonder why.
And the bird with the sword thing, explaining that to someone would be also be a good thing.
Yeah, well, they'd probably just believe you, especially if you had a sword.
Yeah. Have you been back to Russia as an adult? And
I haven't. I've wanted to go, but I haven't been back.
Yeah. What prevents you?
I don't know. I guess. I think, well, at one point I wanted to go back and make a documentary, but I think at the time I wanted to do that, less people were murdered. And now, I don't know. There's no. When I told my mom I wanted to go, she was like, "It's a lawless country, don't go." And then, you know, my dad and my brother were like, "Oh, you should maybe go check it out."
Yeah. Do you think of yourself at all? Maybe not, but is there such a thing as a Russian sense of humor? And is some of what you do sort of related to that? Is there?
Yeah, there's a slight, you know, a dark and a slight, maybe absurdist streak in Russian sense of humor. I mean, I grew up here, so it's sort of, there's a bit of it, but it's not completely that.
Yeah. And do you still live in Brooklyn?
Yeah, well, I live in Brooklyn and in Massachusetts, yeah.
Oh, both, okay. And there's a big Russian community in Brooklyn.
There is, though I don't live near it, though I often go to Brighton Beach, especially when my family visits, we go down there.
Yeah. What do you do then, just at Brighton Beach?
I go to stores and then I'll buy also some Russian foods. And
Russian foods.
Get food. It's nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just want to say that you are brilliant, and I don't exactly know why.
Thank you very much.
You've probably been told that before. It's very perplexing because your humor almost feeds on itself, but it's obviously you're too smart for most of us, and yet we'd like to think we're smart enough to understand what you're doing.
That's I have some great quotes to put on my album now. Too smart for most of you, but I think you'll like it.
I think you'll like it. Eugene, I'm going to let you go here. I know where are you playing next after Saratoga Springs?
I'm going home, but then next weekend I'm in Denver and Houston.
Denver and Houston, look for him. Eugene Merman, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Nice speaking with you. Eugene Merman, ladies and gentlemen, you know him from Bob's Burgers and from Speaking Russian. Okay. He's unique. Definitely unique. Okay. So then, how are you?
I'd like to sell my car. I'm good.
Because your sausages will not fit
yes.
in it, is that the
yes. point?
Yeah. That's that compact, that subcompact you got.
Yeah, it's really small.
Either that or you got to reduce your sausages.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No. Not at this point, huh?
No.
No. No, sir.
No, sir.
How are you then?
I'm good.
Got a big Valentine's Day plan there?
No, I already had Valentine's Day.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
How'd that?
I okay. cooked a little fish.
Yeah. That was it?
That was it. Yeah. It was expensive.
Were you alone at
it
the
It was
time,
expensive. No, that's my
nice
wife.
Piece of fish.
It was expensive fish, yeah.
Nice piece of fish.
It was really good.
What sort of fish was it?
It was wild-caught king salmon.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. What? King salmon.
I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. How did you fix it, then?
Broiled it. Roasted it, I guess you could call it, in the oven.
That sounds complex.
Well, the king salmon has got a lot of...
It's got all of the oil fat. In there.
Yeah, it's got a lot of oil in there, so it just doesn't like cook up in eight
yeah.
minutes. It's like, okay, add another two. Oh, add another two. Oh, how about another three? How about another... Takes
yeah.
a while. Yeah.
So that's did you season it at all? Or?
Yeah. A little salt and pepper, some oregano,
yeah.
some...
And what did you serve with it?
Broccoli.
And that was Valentine's Day.
That was Valentine's Day.
Piece of fish and some broccoli. That's nice. And did she, what'd she get you?
Nothing.
Not a dessert or anything? Or?
I had dessert too. Yeah.
Oh, you had dessert too? Well,
yeah.
You didn't mention that. What'd you make for dessert?
Raspberries, fresh raspberries. Yeah. And they were actually good.
That's
usually this time of year.
That's a fruit. That's not a dessert.
Well, no, but yeah, I had like.
Doesn't matter if they're fresh.
It was on like full fat yogurt with some dark chocolate sprinkled on top.
All right.
Crushed up on top.
What a guy. What a guy. The heck with diamonds and jewels.
Oh, yeah, that's all overrated.
That's so passe.
They forget about it the next day anyway, and they're on to the next thing.
They got a nice piece of fish.
Yeah. Let's bring back fish.
Bring a nice piece of fish for Valentine's.
I'm going to bring back fish.
Bring back fish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And hi, Jeff. I don't want to talk to him.
No, he. Yeah.
He doesn't.
He's
he didn't
in big
get
trouble.
His,
no, I know.
He always does this thing.
Yep.
Like it's Valentine's Day.
Panic.
Tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I know you guys are kind of a romantic couple and all that stuff, but you never think of anything until the last second. The morning of, you'll find something, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Better that way.
Are you think? Do you have an area of that you're thinking about?
Yes, I have a list right here.
You have a list?
Yeah. I'm putting together some ideas right now.
Oh, okay. Do you
want
to save that for when you're off the air?
Yes, I do.
Okay. We'll hear that off the air then. Those of you here get to hear his ideas for Valentine's Day. And this little tune here is
it's called Emily.
Emily.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Anyone else here doing fish for Valentine's Day?
Gotta be good fish.
Even a nice piece of fish, yeah. Okay. You don't want to just do, like cod, frozen cod.
Oh, no.
No. That was a nice piece of fish,
yeah.
But not everything. Anyone, and any other, anything like fish? Are you making... So are you making a salmon for Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Good man. So you think alike. How are you doing yours?
We're going to roast it.
Roast it.
Herbs.
White wine.
Ooh.
You drink that or you put it on the fish?
Put it on the fish.
Yeah.
For the
Don't drink it after it's been on the fish, though, because it really kills the ambiance, as we say in English. And you're doing fish, too? Sushi? Ooh. Are you slicing your own sushi?
Yes.
Are you doing blowfish? Because be careful, I'm going to say. Wear your reading glasses if you're doing blowfish, if you're doing sushi at home. Do you do that a lot, sushi at home?
No.
First time?
Once with a friend who showed you how?
First time on my own. Okay. Where'd you get the blowfish?
No blowfish.
Oh, no blowfish?
No.
Okay. That'd be good for last Valentine's Day, I think. Anyone here who's doing something really, well, I guess you couldn't say because they might be listening or they might be there, but something, you know, really inventive? Yes, what are you doing? Hold on a second. That's worth the trip, ladies and gentlemen. This is worth the trip. Where is she again? I know, in this room. Okay, excuse me. This is probably the best idea I've ever heard for Valentine. Don't you agree?
I agree.
Her husband is, I'll let her clarify this. You probably didn't hear it at home, and it should come from you because you're doing it. How are you? Pretty good?
My husband is getting head cheese for Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Fine, then. Is he here?
No, he's home.
Okay.
He's going to be surprised. I'm surprising him.
Hopefully he's not listening now, because that would spoil the whole thing.
No, he's watching CNN. Yes.
What does he watch on there?
Everything, all day.
All day?
All day.
Not the Weather Channel? Doesn't he watch the Weather Channel at all?
Not. No? Nope, just CNN.
Why? What is he?
And a few murders.
A few what?
Murder shows he likes.
Murder shows?
Yeah, murder shows.
Do they have those on CNN?
No. Those are other ones. I always worry about him and him watching all those murder shows.
That there are a lot of them murder their wives.
Yeah, if I show up dead. Yeah, if I show up dead, I already told everybody.
Yeah. Did you write it out somewhere?
Make sure it's a natural death.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what you got to do? You got to put it in a letter and mail it to yourself.
Right.
So if anything happens to me, look at my husband's TV records.
Right. See what was the latest murder he watched.
Yeah, because some of them are pretty exotic things.
Right. You know,
something like a head cheese, for example, could be
like head cheese.
Could be fatal if not prepared properly.
That's right.
Do you make this head cheese?
No.
Well, that's not quite as good a story, is it? Does he like head cheese?
Yeah, he loves head cheese.
Loves head cheese.
Yeah.
Every Valentine's Day, do you get him head cheese? Or?
First time.
First time?
Yeah.
And how many years?
59.
59 years.
We got married very young.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were 4 years old and he was seven.
Right. Yep. Close to it.
Yeah, close to it.
And so 59 years and all he gets is a lousy head cheese? Is that what you're talking
about? That's it. That's it.
Do you like head cheese?
Yeah.
Really?
Never ate it until I got married.
That's true of so many things in marriage.
That's right.
That's what marriage is good for. You know, never did until I got married.
It has to be good for something. Marriage.
What is your name?
Kathleen.
Kathleen?
Lap.
Kathleen Lap. Two P's?
Two P's.
You'd have to do two P's with a lap.
That's right. It has to be two P's.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's two P's in a pod, you and Mr. Lap.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
What's his name?
Peter.
Peter. Okay. And he's not listening, so.
And my nickname is Kitty, so it's Peter and Kitty.
Oh. And that means what?
Nothing.
Okay. You should be doing this show, and I should be sitting here, is what it means.
Right.
Have you ever been on the air before or done your own show?
Never. Never.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. What sort of vocation or?
I worked in a grocery store as a cashier for 23 years, and I was a dairy farmer.
Yeah, dairy farmer.
Yeah.
Keep your hand in that still?
No, not really.
Yeah, dairy farming. Okay.
Nope.
Well, you know, we got something for you, Kathleen, because you've been so entertaining, and I love that. The head cheese idea is a good one.
We do. So something to pair with the head cheese, perhaps. How about some Domaine du Sac and Prairie Fumé wines from the Wollersheim Winery?
A bottle of each?
Yes, a bottle of each.
But I'm a teetotaler.
Oh, wait a minute.
Whistler?
You're a what?
Isn't it called a teetotaler when you never drink?
Something. It's called ridiculous.
Right. You're right.
59 years, don't you need a drink by now?
Yeah.
Okay, you don't drink.
Never.
Okay.
Nope.
Well, what else you got there that that goes nice with a head cheese?
Oh, how about a handsome rugged mug from East Lansing's Jazz at Wharton Center? She can drink another libation from it.
No? What else?
Let's see. How about a XXX What Do You Know t-shirt? Not much since 1985.
Yeah, that's okay. Something good. Some edibles to go with the head cheese. Do we have cheeses? Can we have those cheeses on there? Just regular cheeses?
We do have cheeses. I believe we reserve those for our Town of the Week.
No, guests, we don't. But not if Kathleen is here.
Sure, okay. So
we'll get
for
you some
Kitty
nice cheeses
and Peter.
And we'll get you a mug. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're wonderful. He's a lucky guy. Let me say he's a lucky guy.
Okay, I will tell him.
Okay.
I have to ask, Michael, what
Please
is
do.
Head so, cheese? Does everyone know what head cheese is?
What?
Head cheese, what is
head
it?
Head cheese is cheese made from the head.
Okay. Pretty self-explanatory.
It's like the CEO of a large corporation. It's awesome. Either one of those it could be, or cheese made from the head. Right? Anyone here actually know how to make a head cheese? You take the head of something, right?
I think it's more than the head.
Cow.
I think it's.
And then you make it, find whatever meat's in the cheeks and the jowls, the whatever else, lips. Cow lips are good, I heard. Does the tongue go in there too in the head cheese? Tongue
oh, yeah.
goes in there.
Oh, yeah.
There's no cheese, actually. Cheese is a misnomer. It's really that someone said and said, geez. Head, a head, geez. And then it was misinterpreted over the years as head cheese. So it was. Okay. Do you have anything special planned for today? My wife is missing out on the garden expo. Sorry.
I know.
Yeah, they got the head cheese thing.
It was a Christmas present, so I had to come.
Yeah. Well, the garden expo, I mean, should be going on for a while, right?
Yeah, this afternoon I'll go back.
You go back in the garden expo, okay. Oh, you were already there last night at the Garden Expo. Why make that an issue then? Excuse me, just say. I don't, you know. Well, who said this? The husband said this, right? My wife. Yes. Okay, that's right. Your husband was concerned about you. You wouldn't get enough Garden Expo.
Exactly.
Excuse me, I just got to get down here. This is another family crisis. And if it's a family crisis, I'm there. Especially in my family, I have to say. Well, so what?
Yeah, so I'm missing some sessions.
What session?
Different sessions on Friday night and different
what
sessions.
What sessions at the Garden Expo?
One about like growing mushrooms or what the or what the yeah
I
or
like that idea.
Yeah. Or what the new annuals are for the this
annuals.
Time. Yeah.
Every year at the annuals.
The new ones. Huh? The most popular new ones that come out.
Is it a new annual?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see one you liked?
Well, no, I haven't gone to the session yet.
What was last night all about?
I went to learn about herbs, to eat herbs.
To eat, yeah.
Yes. Or to use them in your flower pots as ornamental.
Oh.
Yeah, see?
There's something you could do, Jeff.
I like that idea.
Ornamental herbs in a pot. You'll love it. It'll hit your head in about 3 seconds, but it'll. Oh, that's nice. And did you enjoy yourself?
I got new ideas for the watering the garden this next year. Right out, straight out of the rain barrels.
Well, that sounds like a great time. I can see why you want to go back. Yes.
Last night he bought his bat house that he's been wanting for the last couple of years.
He finally got the bat house.
The bat house.
To attract the bats.
Yeah.
Back.
You know, if you want to just keep the house you got, you can just put it in a bat room.
Yeah, we used to have a whole nice colony of bats, and then they disappeared. So we're hoping to get them back.
What drove them out?
The house they lived in has been demolished.
Oh, 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 we had bats for a long time, and then the flying monkeys drove them out.
We have no flying monkeys.
Yeah. You get those. If you have bats, you get flying monkeys.
Really?
Yeah, I know. In fact, I'm having a symposium at the garden show on flying monkeys to drive out your bat problem.
What time is your symposium?
Well, I don't know. I got it down. It's in my... I don't have my phone here right now. And your name is?
Deb.
Deb and...
Ed. Ed.
Deb and Ed? Deb and Ed, ladies and gentlemen, for all your garden needs. All right. Well, I've got a lot I wanted to get to here, and I didn't get to it. Pardon me for walking sideways past you like that, but there's not much I can do in that situation. It's always been my problem. How are you doing, young man?
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, you an athlete? You look like an athlete. You got the Nike thing going, and what's your sport?
I like football and basketball.
Yeah.
Which
do you play better?
Football.
Football, yeah. What do you play? Running back?
Yeah, I'm good at running back, and I'm pretty good at wide receiver.
Wide receiver.
And defense.
And defense.
Yeah.
You play both sides of the ball?
Yeah.
I'm saying you probably don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Your name is?
Jacob Schilling.
Jacob Schilling. Remember the name. Draft pick. I'm thinking draft pick. We're going to play a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Before we can do that, we have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz. Therefore, the gentleman, if you come over to the aisle here, I'll meet you there. These are the legendary four disclaimers that have never changed in all these years, except for the second one. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. And you are?
My name is Michael Christian.
Michael, are you from around here?
I'm from West Bend.
From West Bend. Beautiful West Bend. Come on, we applaud any place. Doesn't matter. I'll give you that. Turn you loose.
I'd like you to know that this is on my bucket list.
Aww.
Yes. You want to know what else is on there?
No, what else?
Well, it's much more things exciting than this, but yeah. this is a good start.
What else? What number is it on the list?
30. No. Yeah. Top 10. This is like 15.
What's right at the top?
I'd like to maybe travel a little bit more.
Travel?
Like, I don't get out of Wisconsin very often,
no,
so yeah. I'd like to... I'd like,
to you.
Yeah, you never know. I like safety.
Yeah. I only go as far as the UP.
Not all the way to Canada?
No, that'd be a nice idea, too. I mean, that's on my list.
You need a passport to get to Canada, not to the UP. The four disclaimers for today's show. Shall I go?
You sure?
Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, so much for global warming. Three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. And number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Good job. You got a good point. You can do radio.
I have a face for radio, right?
Yeah, me too.
Mike Christian.
Mike Christian. No, you can keep that, Mike. That's cross that off your bucket list. And if you had to travel to get here, then that's two. All right, let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. Chance to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous and needing. Do you need prizes? You need prizes in your life? You do? Okay, oh, come on. Over here. She needs prizes. Did you ever win anything? Did you ever actually win anything in a contest or anything?
I won a couple of things.
Yeah, what'd you win?
Like $50.
$50 for what?
I can't remember. It was a Christmas thing, and it was just a gift certificate or something.
Oh, yeah, they just pulled it out there.
Yeah.
And your name is?
Susie Lewis.
Around here, Susie?
On Alaska.
On Alaska. Beautiful on Alaska, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. It's as good as West Bend. Susie, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because it is on my bucket list.
On her bucket list.
We're hitting all the bucket lists. Come on down, Susie. Your husband doesn't what?
Doesn't know I'm here. Well, he probably doesn't.
Why should he?
Because he'd be mad.
Is it any of his business?
Absolutely not.
You married the guy, doesn't give up all rights, you know. He's got his things, you got your things. I don't see why you have to explain everything. Yeah, sit down. You would be mad if he knew you were here?
Because he's not here, too.
Oh, well, he'd like to be here.
Yeah, he would like to be here. Oh,
but is it on his bucket list?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. We should talk about these things.
I know.
Honey, let's talk about our bucket list.
Really?
That'd be a conversation you'll never have. Right? Got to show you some of these items. Sorry, dear. Some of them are... Okay. What are you doing these days?
I work for federal employee, but I work for the National Guard.
What do you do? What do you do for them?
IT specialist.
IT is it.
It.
You're an IT specialist.
I'm an IT specialist. Yes,
so you're
I am.
One of those techies?
Yes.
For the National Guard? That's cool. And do you do that in non-Alaska?
No, I work at Camp Douglas.
At Camp Douglas? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Done that for a while? Or?
Yeah, about 12 years. About.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. How are they treating you? Pretty good?
Oh, yeah. Great job.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear. Let's talk about your bucket list now.
Okay.
What else you got on there?
What else do I have on my bucket list?
Yeah. You don't have to tell me that.
I was going to say.
Don't tell me anything that's none of my business, which could be everything on there.
No, I want to get to Europe.
Europe?
Yes.
In particular country?
England.
England?
United Kingdom. I'd like to go to Ireland and Scotland. And
oh, yeah. You got to do that.
And that's on my husband's bucket list, too.
It's on his.
It's on his, yeah.
Okay, so that should happen then.
That should happen, exactly. Yeah.
Valentine's Day, how's that looking? Pretty good for you?
Yeah, we're an old married couple, so, you know.
Yeah. So what are you going to do, find another old married couple and party with them?
Maybe, yeah. We'll probably get a card.
Yeah. What does he do?
He works for a sign company. He sells signs.
Sells signs.
Yeah.
Okay. Susie, you know how this works? Someone out there plays along with you?
I do, yeah.
Okay. And so it's that's cooperative, I guess you'd call that. Not familiar with the feeling myself, but and Stephanie, how does this all happen?
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Oh, thank you for mentioning that. The new millennial focused Whole Foods 365. They're opening up this thing. Will feature what unrelated service area? You probably saw this in the news, made the news everywhere recently. There's a new Whole Foods. It's aimed at millennials, called 365, and they're adding additional services that you might not associate with food products necessarily. And this is one in particular along those lines. Darren's in Liberal, Kansas. Hey, Darren.
I have no idea.
Okay, thanks for calling, though. Yeah. It's nice talking to you. What's going on? Anything?
No, nothing. Hanging out with my son.
Oh, dear. What can you do? He's a nice kid, though.
Oh, yes. I enjoy him monthly.
Yeah.
Immensely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling, though, Darren. Tim's on the line from Appleton. Hey, Tim.
Hi, Michael.
What up?
It's cold up here.
Oh, is it really? It's really warm down here. I guess we got that. We got that Gulf Stream that runs, you know, just south of you guys there through combined locks. That's it turns at Appleton, heads straight down to southern Wisconsin, where we're just basking in it.
Good. Shorts and T-shirts, right?
Shorts and T-shirts all year round. Are you kidding? It's Wisconsin. So, Tim, the new thing at the Whole Foods stores, 365, what are they offering?
Tattoos.
Oh, Tim. That's right.
Really?
Are you a millennial, Tim? Are you a millennial, Tim?
No, I'm not.
No, you're not. But would you go to Whole Foods and get a tattoo while you're there?
No.
No. Seems like a strange idea to me, but I am not of that, you know, age group, so I'm not so sure. Tim, this is Susie.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Susie.
Susie, this is Tim. The two of you are a team. You feel bonded sufficiently?
Sure.
Okay, cool. So you work together on this. We have various categories, don't we, Stephanie?
We do. Those categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Tim, we'll let you take the first one. What would you like?
Current events.
Current events, right out of the news. Let's see. Following Beyonce's performance at the Super Bowl, their song Formation, sales at what food franchise went up 1/3?
Red Lobster.
Whoa.
I'll go with him. I have no idea.
Tim.
He's just...
Way to be, Tim. Yes, Red Lobster.
Right, Tim.
I guess I missed that reference in the song myself. I was watching her. I didn't get the reference in the song. But.
That's one right, and the remaining categories are people, places, school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Susie, what would you like?
School.
Okay, things you should have learned in school. Here are the answer. There's an answer here. The answer is 2 to the 74 millionth, 207,000th, 281st minus 1. What is that?
Anybody?
Newly discovered, but it's
Is that the side of the wave?
No, not that
the
one.
Gravy wave?
Not the gravy wave. No. Tim, you must know this one because you know everything.
The amount of atoms in the universe.
Oh, no. I thought you might have seen this in the news or something. No?
No idea.
So, okay. It's the largest prime number.
Oh.
Only divisible by itself and one.
Wow.
Okay. I thought it was impressive, but...
okay.
It would be depressive. That would be.
We stopped a little short of that. Well.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
So that's one right, one wrong, and the remaining categories are people, places, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Tim, back to you.
Science.
A sneeze. The science of sneezing. There are people who are sneeze or particle physicists or whatever, fluid particle. I don't know. A sneeze produces clouds of gas that carry infectious droplets 100, 200, or 300 times farther than they were if they were just disconnected droplets. So the beauty of a sneeze... Because then
I'm thinking 300.
I am too. I think
or 200 or 100.
Okay. then 200.
200? Tim?
100?
No, sure. I'm just saying...
Oh, 200, yeah.
That seems like it would be 200. Enough to me, yeah. 200 times farther, because of the cloud that's produced. 200 times, yes, 200 times,
yay.
According to the fluid dynamics disease transmission people at MIT. Okay. There you go. Huh?
Is that the... Did they win the quiz?
No, they didn't. Stay
okay.
With us, will you?
Okay, one more. Yeah. So that's 2 right, 1 wrong. Remaining categories are people, places, and odds and ends.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. This is for the money here. Among young men, does high self-confidence lead to low success in online dating?
No. Would be...
Or yes. I want you to know.
Yeah.
Okay, then everyone here is shaking their head. Yes, Tim.
Well,
yes,
you probably don't online date, right?
No.
They probably have some experience with this. Am I correct? Okay, so they say somebody, a young man with high self-confidence, is that actually a negative in terms of success for online dating?
Yes, then.
Yes.
Huh? Tim, you agree with that? Yes, it is. They're inverses. Don't sound so cocky when you're online.
Susie, you've won the perfect book for Valentine's Day, Steve Allman's Candy Freak, A Journey Through the Chocolate Underbelly of America from Algonquin Books. Tim, your mornings will be filled with love and romance, drinking Steep and Brew breakfast blend coffee, and your Valentine's Day will be complete savoring smooth and tasty Costa Rican Terrazu from Madison's Steep and Brew Coffee. Coffee done right. Congratulations to both of you.
All right.
Thank you.
And much, much more.
Thank you very much.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, Producer International.
Okay, Dan. Or you can if you want to. I'm not saying you have to.
This is PRI, Public Radio International.
All right. That night.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
That's John Tulane on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we ride the gravity wave with UW astronomy professor Sebastian Hines, plus a batch of thanks for the memos and all the news that is, and a round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who's training his eagles to intercept drones, Michael Feldman.
Thank you, Madison.
Thank you very much. And we are back here, and yes, we are. You know, each week at this time, we read actual memos sent in by actual listeners who get them and forward them to us. Okay, so what we got here? This one is a leftover from the holidays, but here it is anyway. It's kind of good. The tree skirt that was displayed under the Christmas tree in the OPS lobby during December 2015 is missing.
Oh, boy.
It was under the tree. And when we left for the holiday break on December 23rd, when we returned on Monday, January 4th, 2016, it was missing. The tree skirt was. The tree skirt is Sue's, and it has sentimental value to her as it was handmade with her family. Don't you feel bad now about your scoffing? The skirt had a sequence border. If you happen to see it or know where it is, please return to the OPS reception desk. In the meantime, we will be checking surveillance video. That's just left over from the holidays, some of that holiday spirit. Here's one I'll also throw in here. No charge to you. There's a memo that was actually posted on a job board. And let's see. It says, fast growth internet company looking for a financial analyst to join a dynamic team. Tech company environment, T-shirts and jeans in the office, cornhole tournaments. Other excellent perks and benefits, compensation in the upper 80s. Whoa, that's pretty good. Except for the cornholing, it sounds great. And commensurate with years of experience. There you have it, just a job listing there. Apparently in Iowa is what I'm guessing. I'm hoping, anyway. There it is. Thanks for those memos. And thanks for those memos. Thanks for those memos. Oh, you don't have to applaud everything. It just means that it's over. It helps me. And now you heard all the news that isn't. This is all news that is around here. Let's see here. Well, you know, there's things that happen. But there's only, well, I'll update the beer-battered fish guy. You know, the guy who claimed that they stopped him and he had a high alcohol content. It was, he said it was from the fish fry.
That's a good one.
Of course, it was his 10th charge. I don't know if it was his 10th fish fry charge or... and he didn't win this one. A guy in Friendship denied drinking October 12th, pulled over in Adams County. Though the legal limit for motorists in Wisconsin is 0.08. Because of his previous convictions, his limit is 0.02. Too many fish fries. He was also, okay, all right, so anyhow, they did not, it was unsuccessful, his defense. Beer battered fish defense did not work. Let's see here. And I guess really the only other thing that's of major importance is this important development in our neck of the woods here, Dane County. Officials of the Dane County community of Monona are considering wiping out fines for possession of small amounts of marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
So, according to the State Journal. And it's just a short drive. I mean, if you smoke in Madison and exhale in Monona, I'm saying it's doable. On the Beltline. It's definitely doable. I wouldn't do that while you're on the Beltline. I'm not saying that, I'm not proposing that. I'm just saying that it's convenient. Under a proposal before city officials, fines for possession of 25 grams or less of pot would drop from $313 to $1. Well, kind of encouraging it then, aren't they? What's going on there in Monona? Anyone here from Monona? Too bad. I'd like to know someone right now from Monona. Mayor Bob Miller said he supports a change in how the city handles marijuana possessions because it aligns with how authorities treat alcohol. There you go. Thank you very much. That's all the news that is from around here. All the important stuff, fish fries, and what have you. and marijuana in Monona. Or Mononawana, as they now call it. What?
That was funny.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you're here, because then someone thinks I'm doing something, at least trying, you know. You know, this gravy wave thing has got me a little flummoxed and perplexed. I don't know about you, because I don't quite get it. I'm no Einstein. I admit it. Yeah. I'm the first to admit it. What, you are?
You are a brainiac, though. You are a brainiac.
I know a lot of useless knowledge. But, you know, adds up to a well-rounded individual. So I thought, we need to call the UW, astrophysics. You know, I think we have a big department here. They're very instrumental in a lot of these things, actually, because they make instruments. And we have Sebastian Hines, professor of astrophysics, to explain what is going on with the gravy wave from space right now. And I believe he's here, I'm hoping. Professor Sebastian. Oh, there you are. Okay, I didn't know. I didn't even know we had a backstage. All right.
All right.
Nice to see you.
It's good to be here.
Sebastian, and I got your curriculum vitae.
Oh, fantastic.
But it's like 14 pages long, and I only ran off the first two.
That's okay.
Suffice it, I just got up to black hole scatology.
Yeah, that's it. That's my one specialty. The other is a gravy dynamicist. So.
Yeah. It's black hole scatology. You get good titles for
it. I do.
Was this a talk, or was that? Yeah, it was an invited talk.
This is the black hole exhaust. You know what they get rid of once they swallow something.
Okay, and it's a good title that draws people who are not necessarily interested in the topic.
Yeah. You always want to interest people who are otherwise not interested in black holes, of course.
Is black holes pretty much your thing, right?
That's pretty much my thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And UW has got a lot of, does it have a foot into this whole thing?
We have several feet in black holes, yes, definitely.
Yeah. And the gravity wave thing, were you
the
on
gravity
top of
wave,
that?
So the gravity wave is something that's nationwide, but especially the UW in Milwaukee has a big foot in the gravity waves, too. So.
Did they get ahead of you on this? Was there a race to the gravity waves?
They got hit first, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Do you feel a little bad now that you're wasting your time on scatology?
I should have been doing gravy, so that's for sure.
And I guess there's some place in Minnesota. Where are these telescopes that found this?
So there's one in Washington.
In Washington.
And then there's one in Louisiana.
Okay, thank God it's not in Minnesota.
Yes.
And what did they find, and what is it? Tell us about this.
So, you know, Einstein predicted this 100 years ago, and so it's based on his idea that space and time are woven together into this fabric, and that fabric turns out to be stretchy. So stretchy fabric can wiggle, and that was the prediction that he made. It's really tiny wiggles by the time they get to us, so tiny that he couldn't have possibly thought of actually measuring them. So, I mean, I'm sure he thought about it, but it would have been impossible. But now it's possible, and... We find that the predictions are exactly right. So this is exactly what you want to do as a scientist. You want to make a prediction, you want to see it come true, and then you celebrate. And I haven't really seen ever that many physicists so giddy as when they announced that discovery.
Yeah, so. I know. It's been everywhere. And I don't know what they're giddy about. So that's why we asked you to come in here. Thank
right.
you for doing
so,
it.
So I brought you a little...
is this space-time
a little
fabric?
Bit of fabric space-time, that's right. So we can play merging black holes, which is what was seen. So, so the way this works, and you can play along, ladies and gentlemen at home, you just bring out a bathing suit and you stick your finger into the top and bend it all the way down. Uh-huh. And I'm going to come from the bottom, and then we're going to spin it.
I've never had this experience before with another person.
Right, you're warping, you know, our space-time here. So we're going to spin it counterclockwise. Uh-huh. We're going to go around each other. You have to spin two.
I'll spin two. Which way
do
I go?
There you go, like that.
Okay.
So now we're going to spin faster and faster and get closer and closer, and then we merge.
Oh, wow, that was weird.
And the ripples that go around here, that's what we see in the gravity waves.
I feel like I want to see you again.
All right. Yeah, that was a different experience for sure.
Are you with someone?
Now, the difference is you have to do this at half the speed of light, right? So.
Okay. That was very fascinating and pretty rewarding, actually, but I still don't totally... get it. I understand. Wait, what was Einstein's equation for all this?
So the field equations are equations that tell you how space and time is warped if you have mass sitting in space, and how mass bends and stretches fabric, the fabric of space-time. And then
so the mass is actually bending the gravity waves.
The mass of the two black holes is making the waves. Right?
Making the waves.
And as they go around each other. Because they're colliding. Yeah, so you have two 30 solar mass black holes. You take 30 suns and you squish them to the size of Los Angeles, basically. Mm-hmm. And two of them going around each other. Mm-hmm. And they get closer and closer. They get closer and closer because they emit these gravity waves. Right? So that actually makes them collide, the formation of these waves. And then they get so close that they merge and make one bigger black hole that's almost twice as massive and twice as big, but it's not quite twice as massive. And the rest of that mass, about three times the mass of the sun, that's the energy that went into the gravity waves. So you take three suns, you annihilate them, and then make waves in the fabric of space-time.
There's like three. No. There are two holes.
Two black holes.
But you say the mass of three.
And the mass of three suns is disappearing, going into the gravity waves, wiggling space-time.
And why did we just... Shouldn't this be happening all the time?
It's happening all the time, and the surprising thing is that it's happening more often, maybe than we thought, sort of naively. It's definitely at the upper end of the predictor range. So this seems to be a quite common thing, and it's surprising, maybe, that nature is so good at making these big black holes and then merging them, smushing them together.
And yet, all this power over all this space and all this time, and it just makes a little chirp.
It's a little chirp. So that's the signal that was detected. It's you hear the black holes going around each other. You can actually translate that to sound, and you can see them going around, making gravity waves, getting closer and closer. The waves get higher and higher. The amplitude goes up, and the frequency goes up because they get closer and closer. And the closer they get, the faster they spin.
Yeah.
And then when they merge, the whole thing goes away because now there's no more two black holes.
We have the chirp here.
Excellent.
The sound of two black holes colliding and merging. Where did this sound come from? A long time ago, in the distant reaches.
No, we don't want NPR on this. We want
the chirp.
The actual chirp.
Well, we can.
It was like morning edition.
We can whistle a chirp, right? That kind of thing. So.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound like that.
No, but close enough.
Here it is. Here is the actual chirp. No, Tom is waving.
All right.
Okay. We had it too, but it's amazing. Like a little blip.
That's
like
a blip, and by how fast the frequency goes up, how high the pitch gets, you can tell the masses of the black hole and the difference of the masses and their properties. And we can learn a lot of really fascinating stuff about gravity, about Einstein's predictions. We can test it to a really high degree, which was impossible before. We can measure the properties of the black holes, how fast do they rotate. And as they rotate, they drag space and time around them with them. Mm. So this is a completely new way of looking at the universe.
Well, that all seems reasonable to me. And Einstein, was there any reason for him to know this?
So he had formulated his theory of gravity the year before he made the prediction.
Yeah.
And he was wondering, how the information of gravity actually flies through the universe, right?
Okay, is gravity? Is there a wave? Is there a...
Right. So how does Earth know that the sun is, is there? And how does the Earth know if the sun moves? And how fast does the information travel? So he made the calculations from his equations that he derived and found that there must be waves. And then about just 100 years ago, he made that prediction. And then in about the same year, Schwarzschild calculated what now is known as the solution for black holes. So both of those things were done in 1916. And 100 years later, we have this fantastic discovery.
Amazing. And but once again, why don't we have heard these chirps? It should be like chirping like crickets, shouldn't it? With all the black holes that are colliding. And
so black holes like this don't collide every second, but they collide, it seems to
often
be
enough.
Often enough that we can find it within a week or a few weeks of turning on the instrument. The thing is, the instrument was made much more sensitive.
Okay.
And so that made it possible to discover black holes of this mass. And so you can look much further back where there are bigger black holes.
We have the chirp. Yeah.
Okay, so you can hear the blip at the end. Okay, so that was repeated several times. Yeah. Sounds
why
short.
Why so small? Shouldn't it be like a massive explosion?
It is. If you're close, then it's a massive explosion. But it's it's
by the time it gets to us, it's
1.3 billion light years away. And the further further away you go, the weaker the blip. Yeah, it's extremely tiny, but.
So now, does this have an effect on what you do now with black holes? Does it change your awareness, or is it altered, or somehow enhance it? Or?
Well, it enhances, of course, the understanding of their properties, right? So the fact that we can measure the spins of these, and then we know that there are enough 30 solar mass black holes around that you have to be able to make them somehow, right? So the question is, how do you make a 30 solar mass black hole? How do you grow it to that size? You start with a star. it dies by the end of its life. You know, it collapses. You know, the core of the star collapses to make.
That's
you
a
know,
black hole.
That's a black hole if it's a big enough star. But you need a really big star to make a 30 solar mass black hole, right? So you have to have at least 60 solar masses of star typically to make something like that.
I would think at least.
And that's right.
Yeah.
And most stars are not nearly that big. Yeah. Most stars are like the sun, so they have one times the mass of the sun, not 60.
Yeah.
And so the question is, how many of those massive stars are there, and how easy is it to make a black hole out of them? So this goes a long way to addressing that.
Yeah. And is there a particular aspect of black holes that is your specialty, your forte?
Well, I think we already talked about that, but so I
we did. I don't remember what
so
it was.
So the scatology aspect. So I study what comes out.
Oh, the scatology.
Yeah. So I study what goes in and what comes back out. So what comes out from near the black hole? Once it's inside, you can't
you don't
bring
know
it back out.
There.
But everything that went inside stays inside. But
what comes out?
What comes out from
waves?
Near the black hole? Yeah. Gravity waves do come out. And then what comes out from stuff that's falling in near the black hole? That's what I study. So stuff slamming into the interstellar gas and basically.
So when
exhaust.
When do we get our big press here for UW astrophysics?
Well,
have you discovered something that you're on the verge
of announcing? So UW Milwaukee has big press on this, and then so we're studying the discoveries of things that happen when you actually see matter falling in. So we see the light that's coming out. We see echoes of the light that came from the black hole. So ripples in light that reach Earth when the light scatters.
Now, if I fall into a black hole, do I stay relatively intact if in a different form?
So that really depends on the size of the black hole.
Yeah.
So if you fall into a black hole that was made from a star that died, you're going to get ripped to shreds before you ever get to the inside of what we call the event horizon. The event horizon is the place where you cannot come back out.
Yeah. Okay.
So once you're inside, you're in. That's it. But for a black hole that was made by a star, you're going to be ripped to shreds. If you fall into a black hole that's...
A big one,
a really big one that's, a million to a billion times the mass of the sun. 30 is probably not going to do it, but a billion times the mass of the sun in the centers of big galaxies, that you're going to survive that.
I am?
Yes.
In the same form, or in several different dimensions?
If you have a good spacecraft or spacesuit that, allows you to avoid radiation and such. But once you're inside, you're going to get ripped to shreds anyway. And unfortunately, you can't tell anybody about it because nobody will hear it, right? Because you're inside the black hole, your signal will not get out. So it's an unpleasant thing to do. I would not recommend it. And I would also not recommend parking your spacecraft next to two merging black holes because those gravitational waves will also rip you. But the good thing is
Good news and bad, I guess, on the black hole scene. Professor Sebastian Hines, thank you so much for coming down here.
Pleasure.
Elucidating us on the whole thing you're hearing about these gravity waves. It's black holes. He's taking his cloth and he's going now. Thank you so much. Oh, he's staying. Okay. No, you're welcome to stay. Brought the kids too, huh? Excellent. Are they both scientific? One's going to the bathroom. No, I didn't mean he was researching something right now. I meant, okay. From the Department of Astronomy, UW Sebastian Hines. UW. Okay. Any questions?
Well, yeah. I have a question,
John,
but I didn't want to interrupt your interview.
No. Go ahead.
Well, I was wondering about the pitch of the blip. Like it had a pitch, right? I mean, because the gravity waves must be somewhat similar to a sound wave.
Yes, very much so.
Pitch.
Frequency.
Right. At which the two black holes go around each other.
Okay.
Black holes.
What we call the orbital frequency.
Yeah.
Right. So the Earth takes a year to go around.
Then they hit. I think they said they hit a middle C or something like that.
Yeah. At a very, very high pitch. Right?
Yeah.
So the whole thing happened in a fraction of a second.
John, give us a middle C. That's it.
Yeah.
But the blip that he played, I don't know. It's a recording of it, obviously. Yeah. But it was a D. But I actually heard the middle C too. That it was supposed to be.
That's the chirp. The chirp
goes
from a D to a C.
Okay.
And from a jack to a king. Okay, well, thank you, John, for that.
Yeah.
Okay, what are we doing now?
I think it's time for John and Jeff to play us
out. Oh, yes, that's right. Can you play something that starts, like, on that note and then takes the blip in whole new places and you can vamp on them?
We'll play a song that's in C minor.
Mm.
Okay.
So that's completely unrelated, but...
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
What do you know about the history of Valentine's Day? St. Valentine's, isn't he the one who had all the arrows? He ties, I see St. Valentine was tied to a post with arrows in every part of his body. So I'm saying he's the appropriate saint for this holiday. Anyway, is anyone, St. Valentine, wasn't that him? The arrows? Or is that St. Sebastian? Might have been St. Sebastian. We don't celebrate St. Sebastian Day, do we? Did he marry people in private? But he must have had, what, you got to have like some major horrible thing happen to you to be a saint, right? So what was Valentine's? Anyone know? I did know it one time, but I thought he was the arrows. It might have been something else. Boiled in oil or something. It was something that was appropriate to the holiday. Mary Lou from Green Bay, do you have a pre-show ritual, and can I be a part of it? Well, I'll see if I can work you in. It's going to be hard, Mary. Where's Mary Lou? Huh? Yeah, well, we could talk about it. It's kind of a personal thing, but... Huh? You are? Oh, good. Cool. Cool. I could use a new ritual. Why is it taking me 20 years to finally see your show? I don't know. Is that you? 20 years.
20 years. Yeah.
Why are you asking me? Shouldn't you be asking yourself?
That's what I am. I'm asking myself.
Oh, you are.
I have got a Snoopy radio in my bathroom that has your show on. Then I have the
radio. A Snoopy radio always has my show on in your bathroom?
In my bathroom. And then...
Where can I get a radio like that?
My son and his wife-to-be got it for me. I love it. Yep, Snoopy.
Where does it come out on?
The little nose. You turn
his Snoopy's nose?
Yep, yep.
And I come out of his what?
I really am sorry to say his rear end problem.
Oh, jeez. Better than nothing.
Better than nothing. Yeah. The radio is on in my dining room and then down in the basement. I have a radio on, so no matter where.
All Snoopy's?
No, just the one Snoopy is my favorite. Yes, yes. And while I'm house cleaning, if I'm scrubbing the toilet, I'm listening to you. If I'm out doing the dishes, I'm listening to you. If I'm down in the basement doing laundry, I'm listening to you.
Let's go back to the toilet for just a second. What, like for band numbers, and is that when you scrub the toilet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Or vacuum to the music.
To the music. Very good. Gentlemen, care to respond?
Well.
Thank you.
I finally made it here.
And your name is?
And this is Brenda. And I.
What is it?
Brenda.
Brenda. Thank you, Brenda, for coming.
No problem.
It's nice to have you. You want the bottle of wine that she didn't drink?
That's my other reason for coming. I want to win some wine.
Well, you know, Kathleen didn't want her bottle of wine. So can we give her the bottle of wine?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I see no problem with that.
20 years. Every 20 years, you deserve a bottle of wine. Thank you for coming.
Don't want to waste that good wine.
Molly, Wisconsin writer, why am I so easily distracted? It says. Andy, UK sick. From Marshall. Are you here still, Andy, or did you have someplace to get to? You got someplace you got to be?
No.
What are you doing out there? It says here you're a, I don't know what this means, a principal technical architect and farmer. Yeah. Well, which are you? Can you be both?
A little of both.
If you were a vegetable, what kind of vegetable would you be? What are you, Barbara Walters? What kind of a... All right, hold on. Okay. Obviously, he wants to talk about this. I don't know. Would you be... What kind of vegetable would you be?
Rutabaga.
Ooh. Cucumber.
Carrot.
Cherry.
Cherry a vegetable?
Oh, nuts. Math teacher.
She'd be a math teacher? Okay, that's cool. Okay, let's just get the vegetables coming. Oh, he's in that row. Yeah,
right.
Vegetable?
Corn.
Corn, okay. Corn here. We'll just get. Just tell me your vegetables. I go down the line. He's way at the end there.
So. Oh, carrot.
Green onion.
Broccoli.
Broccoli goes with fish.
Carrot.
Fennel.
Fennel, okay.
Yeah. Carrot.
Garlic.
Garlic? Yeah.
Beet.
Beat.
Beat? Mm-hmm. Just a single beat, not a bunch?
Yeah.
Celery.
Celery. Oh, and here you are.
Here I am. I think of myself as a Brussels sprout.
Yeah. Well, stand up for a second. Let's see if you look like one. I have no idea. No, you look nothing like a Brussels sprout. I'd like to be a Jerusalem artichoke.
That's close. You know, it's interesting because in my mind, never having seen you listening on the radio, I always... No, actually, I thought of you as kind of a red kale, you know.
But I would hate myself.
But now, then seeing you in person, I was getting asparagus. But
getting asparagus?
It was, but...
It's the color of a shirt.
Jerusalem artichoke.
I think Jerusalem artichoke would have to be more accurate. Yeah. You know, it really comes from your own essence, right?
No, you know why? Because they're not from Jerusalem, and they're not artichokes.
Well, that makes...
that's how I feel. I feel like I'm not this and I'm not that. Yeah. And there, I would be a Jerusalem artichoke if I were a vegetable.
Out in me, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. But now, what do you farm out there when you're farming?
Alfalfa and grass hay. Yeah.
Okay. And this other thing, what is a principal technical architect?
That is so highly complicated. I don't know that your audience could really.
Yeah. You might have to kill them if they understood.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't kill anybody.
Okay, fine. All right. Nice talking to you.
Good
man. Yeah. Andy.
I work in the clouds.
New case.
I work in the clouds.
In the clouds.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
All right. Fine. You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to talk about it. The same man who makes us tell him what kind of vegetable we want to be. Huh?
Oh, I was a Brussels sprout also, and I look like one.
I'll stand up, see if they agree. Brussels sprout?
So Brussels sprout growers out in California, too.
Oh,
so
you do?
I did.
Is that how you got into that job? I say,
kind of fun, yeah. Yeah, I'm an agricultural scientist.
Oh, you are an agricultural scientist?
Yes.
Yeah. And so What is your main area of interest within that umbrella?
Well, I'm technically trained as a weed scientist, PhD in weed science.
You mean?
No, I learned how to... a lot of my friends are.
But they're not scientists, are they?
No, I just tell them how to grow it, so, you know.
A weed scientist, so you are in weeds.
Yeah, control of weeds, but, you know, I'm more broad spectrum now.
Try to be as well. And you're from here? Do you still live here?
No, we live in Mankato now, but I went to school here 20-something years ago.
And did it serve you well in your given field?
Yeah, I love it.
Speak?
Yeah, yeah. My youngest daughter's going here now, too.
Would you recommend weed science to the other youngsters coming up? And
I'd probably go to plant pathology.
Plant pathology.
Yeah, that's what my oldest daughter is. She's working on her PhD in plant pathology, yeah. No, she's in Riverside, California right now.
Oh, that's over there. That'd be in the back of the room right in the corner.
It's the right direction. It's west, right?
Your name again is?
Alan Hack.
Alan Hack, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here's someone. Sashi Hayes, Madison, Wisconsin. I wear many hats. See anyone here wearing many hats? Who's that? Oh, hi. You're wearing many hats right now? Are fake plants or real plants better? I would say fake plants because they last longer. Yeah, do you feel that way as well?
Well, real plants are more authentic, but fake...
Only because they're real.
Yeah. Yep.
But you can have an authentic fake plant as well.
They're hard to come by, though.
No, it's authentic. It doesn't have to be real to be authentic.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Think it over. Let me know what you think. Come back.
Okay.
Are you also in plants, or...
No.
No. What are you in?
Life.
Okay. All right. I'll accept that answer. Jed Schilling from Marshfield. He's around here somewhere. Oh, hey, Jed. Do I need to come over there to say hello? Okay. Jed Schilling from Marshfield, middle school teacher in science, asks, how come middle school students think the planet Uranus is so funny? Let's explore this issue. So you're saying middle school students think that Uranus is funny?
Yeah, I pronounce it Uranus, though, so I don't get it.
Do you?
Well, I grew
it's
up.
It's not the way it's pronounced.
I grew up learning Uranus, but when I tell them
you
about
did, really, where'd you grow up? In Milwaukee here?
No, but when we explore that, it's methane gas and windy and blue and rings and tilted on its side. They
seems
start
about right, doesn't it?
Yeah, they start laughing, and I don't understand why.
Yeah. Well, thank you, and I'm sure you're a great teacher.
We try.
Jed Schilling, thank you. And this is little...
Jacob Schilling.
Not so little. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say little. Young Jacob Schilling, the athlete. Are you a Schilling as well?
I am not Schilling.
Not a Schilling?
No.
Okay, all right.
Cousin? Well, not the cousin, the...
Kind of a brother-in-law.
Uncle.
Yeah.
He hangs around the house. You don't know exactly what he is, right? Yeah, no, that's cool. We all have that. I don't know what you call him. You call him uncles. I guess it's good enough. Why do they call them copays at the doctor when you're the only one paying? Okay, very good. My niece eats worms to win bets. What is wrong with her? Corrine Engen. Is this true?
Yeah, I was in sixth grade.
Oh, wait a second. It was a while ago. She says it's just in sixth grade. She doesn't still do it. Like bar bets, you don't still do it? Eat a worm in a bar bet?
No.
Would you? For a bar bet?
That's not what she said yesterday.
Oh. I'm sorry I got to come through here again. It seems to be all the action is in this row here. And I got to thank you very much. Corn, Brussels sprouts. Okay. Kathleen Kitty, the granddaughter. So there's a gene for this.
Yeah, it's recessive, I think.
So what you're saying is that you ate a worm to win a bet in sixth grade.
Yes, I did.
So you think that should be dropped now and just forgotten about?
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Well, yeah. Six years ago.
It's nothing. You still, 6 years ago?
Yep, about, I think.
Oh, you're in 12th grade now?
Yep.
Okay. So not that long ago, really. Conceivably, you could have done it more recently as well. Would you do it again if the circumstance were right?
No, because it kind of ruined my appetite for spaghetti, so.
Yeah, like for all time, I
sometimes I just not feeling the spaghetti.
Yeah. And vermicelli is even worse, really, after a worm-eating incident.
I don't know what that is. So.
No, looks like worms, though. Do you remember what the bet was that you ate the worm for?
She just said, I dare you to eat a worm. So
okay.
I was like...
Pretty straightforward, then.
But then she ate one, too, so it was fine.
Okay.
Friendship.
Was it a playground kind of thing? Or what was
friendship. Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no money involved?
No.
No worms changed hands?
Just glory.
Forevermore. Okay, and your name is?
Olivia Way.
Olivia. Very nice name. Ladies and gentlemen, where there's Olivia, there's a way. Thank you, dear.
Did you slurp? Did you slurp the worm?
Well, what?
Did you slurp the worm or chew it?
I did not chew it.
What? So you slurped
not
it.
Not chewing.
I should have asked that. You're right.
I was just wondering because she made that reference to spaghetti.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Play Minecraft? No, I don't. That's Jake Schilling. Okay. That's pretty much good then. I think for anything you want to add to this thing, worms or vegetables? Or
I was wondering why all the vegetables started with C. The majority of
Isn't
them did.
Interesting. You think that's a psychological insight?
Perhaps.
Okay. And you, sir?
My favorite vegetable is bratwurst.
Well, that's because you're from around here.
Yes, it is.
But if there's too much vegetables in your bratwurst, they're putting filler in there. So you got to go to a different sausage maker. It's my feeling. Okay, right? Yeah. Right? Okay. Some vegetables in your bratwurst is allowable. Minimal, though. Okay, we're going to play another round of the quiz because a lot of you didn't get a chance last time, almost all of you. And you, I saw you. I mean, you're intent about this. Come on. You're a millennial. We need to study you. We can learn something from your answers. How are you?
Good, good.
And you are?
Aaron.
By the way, Aaron, how old are you?
24.
Are you sick of all this millennial stuff?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Me too. Let me ask you, as a millennial then, what is one thing that you could say to convince me you should be on the quiz?
Need some more Valentine's gifts.
Oh, need some more Valentine's gifts. There we go. All the stuff you never wanted for Valentine's Day. Have a seat there. Aaron, if you would.
Whoa.
That cord has been waiting for me all day. So what are you in these days, Aaron? What are you up to?
I work at a tech company in town.
Tech company?
Yeah.
Okay, can you name it, or is it...
Classified? They probably don't listen, but I probably shouldn't name it.
Shouldn't?
The unnamable tech company.
So it's a tech company in town here. Are they had a lot of success recently?
It's not the big one you're thinking of.
Okay. You'll be happy to know I'm not thinking of anything.
Okay.
And what do you do as far as the tech part of it goes?
I do client interaction. So we offer a software, and I help the clients with it.
Oh, so you don't write code or anything that you have to work with
the actual
clients. Well, that's unfortunate.
Sometimes.
Where you have to start it with clients and you work up the code and stuff? Or?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, oh, cool. And where were you trained to do all this stuff, tech stuff?
The first 2 weeks of the job.
Well, what's your background in then?
I was economics and environmental studies at Madison.
Oh, you are, yeah.
Yeah.
So that prepares you for working in client outreach at a tech company.
Yeah, you have some analytical skills. You can look at code and figure it out.
Was there nothing going in environmental areas?
I was just looking for a job.
Looking for a job, okay. As a millennial now, if you're shopping at Whole Foods and there's a tattoo parlor, would you have to go in there while
as long as it's gluten-free,
Gluten-free tattoos?
Yeah. And no wheat tattoos.
Where are you from originally?
Green Bay.
From Green Bay. Green Bay! Green Bay! Come on! Does your family have season tickets by any chance?
Unfortunately not, no.
Oh, okay, all right. Then I don't want to talk to you anymore. And then what's your passion besides your job, of course? What do you like to do?
Recently got into homebrewing.
Oh, you did? Okay.
How millennial of you.
Leave him alone already. He's tired of all that. And any success?
Yeah, I just made a coffee stout. That's pretty good.
Coffee stout?
Yeah.
That sounds decent, yeah.
I mean, caffeine and alcohol, what can go wrong?
Nothing can go wrong. You got to put chocolate in there now, too, and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, is this your first one?
The second one.
What was the first one?
It was a pale ale that didn't work out.
No. Using gasoline is tricky, I think. Well, that's cool. And do you do any active things like that? Do you ski
or
run or you bike?
I bike and do golf and disc golf.
You disc golf? Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. That's another millennial thing, but I wasn't going to mention it. You got to be a certain age to do disc golf because otherwise they won't let you out there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. And then, Aaron, someone out there plays along with you. You know how this works?
Yeah.
Let's find out who it is. You seem like you're anxious to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you think you're pretty good at this kind of thing.
Well, right? I hope so, yeah.
Okay. You do trivia contests and that sort of thing, too?
Yeah, I do trivia with friends on occasion.
Okay. Trivia with friends. That's an app, you know. I know that one.
I'm just going to hold my tongue.
Go ahead.
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800.
What? You don't do all those things? You do all those things.
I don't do trivia. I've been asked many a time to join friends in a trivia game, but I don't. I did. I was on the academic team in high school.
You did?
But that's because I'm a nerd.
So it's not related to any age bracket you may be
in? No, I don't think so. Okay. I'm a reluctant millennial. I fall into that age bracket, but I don't identify. I don't self-identify as a millennial.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yes. Interesting learning about
Enough
you.
Enough about me.
Yes.
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 800-942-5669 and answer this qualifying question.
Okay. Wisdom the albatross. You've read about her. The world's oldest known bird has just given birth to her what number chick? This is her... I was going to say the number, actually. That was kind of a weird thing. Wisdom the albatross, world's oldest known bird, hatched another one. What number is this for? Wisdom the albatross made the news all over the place. Marianne's in Ozark, Missouri. Hey, Marianne.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah? What you doing this morning?
I stopped at the bank because it's closed on Monday.
Oh, yeah?
And... for the President's Day, and then I went to an estate sale.
You did?
And
already this morning?
Yeah.
What did you find anything?
I found a couple of Wilson racquetball rackets.
You found a racquetball racket?
Yes.
Do you play racquetball?
No.
Okay.
The price was right.
The price was right, but what are you going to do with them? Are you going to put them on the wall or something?
No, I have a little flea market booth that I put oddball stuff in. So.
Oh, I see. You're going to resell these at a great advantage to yourself.
For a small advantage.
Small advantage to yourself, okay. Anything else, just the racquetball rackets?
Yeah, that was it.
That was it, okay. All right. Oh, Marianne, here. Wisdom, the albatross. Did you read about her? The world's oldest.
Yes.
Yeah, the world's oldest bird. What number chick is this for her? She just hatched another chick. Do you recall what they said?
She hatched another chick?
Yeah. You know, was it the 38th, the 39th, the 40th?
Oh, Lord. It's at least the 40th, I think.
40th is right. Holy cow, Marianne. Get out those rackets. We're going to whoop it up tonight. Oh, that's unless you win the quiz. I don't know. Are you seated comfortably? Are you ready for this?
Oh, I guess so.
Yeah, put your feet up. You've been running around all morning.
Actually, I had to pull over. I'm still in the car.
Oh, you're still in the car.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then pull over before you put up your feet.
Oh, I did.
Okay.
I did.
That's a rule of thumb.
I'm in park.
Are you safe and off,
yeah, oh, yes,
off
yes,
the road there? Because
yes,
we don't want any. Okay, Marianne, this is Aaron.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Marianne.
He's a self-confirmed millennial.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I was disappointed he didn't get into something environmental, but so be it.
She's a little disappointed. Maybe later. Yeah, Aaron.
I'm sorry, Marianne. I'll work on that for
He's
you.
He's working on it. It's a big environment out there. It's all environment, really.
That's
think
about true.
It.
That's true.
He's
That's true.
Young. He can turn it around still.
Let's talk about you, Sybil.
Oh, no.
Your expectations, your self-expectations. Okay, Marianne and Aaron, you are a team right now, and so you collaborate on all these answers, and here are the categories which you collaborate on.
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
I think we're going to add a new category called Stephanie.
Oh, no. Worst category ever.
No, it'd be very interesting category. Marianne, you're first. What would you like?
Every time I play this, I think I want to pick science, and I'm always wrong, but I'll try science.
Science, okay. This could be it for you, okay. Not only do they have howling dialects, wolves, they have howling dialects. Did you hear me? I'll say it again. Howling dialects. Wolves have over a dozen, 700, or 2,000 of them. Oh. So what I'm saying is here, wolves.
Yeah, I read howl, that recently.
Yeah, and they have dialects.
Right.
According to where they live. And not only that, but they have over 2,000. Oh, I mean, they have a dozen. They have 700 or 2,000 dialects.
I'm thinking 2,000.
I don't know why you would.
I think I'm going to agree with you, Mary.
Yeah, isn't that surprising? I wouldn't have got that myself unless I was so impressed with it that I blurted it out. Yes. There are 21 howl types, but there are 2,000 accents. They said this at Cambridge University.
Actually, I did read that, although I...
Yeah, interesting, anyway.
Was unsure of the number.
Yeah, sorry I gave it away. What? What?
So that's one right. The remaining categories are current events, people, places, school, and odds and ends.
All right.
Let's go with odds and ends.
All right, odds and ends. Okay, Kim Jong-un, Mac or PC?
Hey, he's a millennial, right? He's got a Mac.
Probably.
That's right.
He is the consummate hipster, if you think about
he
it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he's got
the makes
swoop
a great,
in the hair.
Yeah.
He has a great oatmeal
style. He's got
the
style. Hairstyle that all the guys have now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, that's two right. And the remaining categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, and that's it.
Okay. Marianne, back to you.
Oh. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
People, places, things you should have learned
I didn't mean to surprise
school.
You, but what?
What was the people or places, things you should have learned in school, or what was
and
the third
current,
one?
And current events was the other one.
Things you should have learned in school.
Had you been paying attention. Let's see now if you had been. Okay, I don't know. This is something you should have learned about introverts and extroverts, which you'd never learn in school anyhow, but here it is anyhow. All right, we have introverts, we have extroverts, we have people who like to visit mountains and people who like to visit the sea. Which is it? Does the introvert or the extrovert like to visit? Because this is so stupid, I can't even. I agree.
Oh, but I'm dying to know the answer.
Oh, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. Neanderthals, smarter than we give them credit for or not?
Probably they were.
I'd agree with that.
Yes, they are.
Probably they were.
And they always like to go to the sea.
That's what I would have thought too, but.
That means that you've won, but I think you could go on and win. Why are you looking shocked?
I think so as well. Oh, just because they've been doing so well, I say go for the mother load.
Well, tell them about it then. How can they do that and what does it mean?
So they've got three right, and if they answer this next question correctly, they get the mother load.
Yeah.
Which means we unload all of our prizes.
And we load all our mothers.
On you.
All right.
We receive all our mothers.
I say we go for it, Marianne.
Absolutely.
They're going for it. We like to encourage that. All right. So we got what's left there then, Stephanie?
The remaining categories for the mother load: current events, people, and places.
Okay. And I guess, we can talk it over what category you'd like there.
Aaron, you picked this one.
What do you think, current events?
Leaning that way.
Yeah, let's go
leaning
current events.
Leaning that way, too? Okay, all right, here it is then. Okay, angry, sad, wow, ha-ha, yay, and love are in the news. Why? It has to do with social media. Angry?
Are those new emoticons or something?
Okay, I think we're close to something here.
I heard something that, I forget the name of the Beatle, did something with Skype where he recorded songs to different emoticons.
No.
Not that?
No. You're disappointed as a millennial, you know that, besides the fact you're not doing the environmental thing. Okay, some new social media, and these are new something or others. Angry, sad, wow, ha-ha, yay, and love.
Did they change the faces of them, or they improved upon them, or did they make them
the Facebook
more
of them?
Interesting looking?
The Facebook of them, did you say?
The faces.
On
Facebook, they changed the pictures or
Facebook.
Something. They made them more interesting.
Are you saying, Marianne, I don't mean to misquote you, but are you saying on Facebook, instead of the like... Just the like button. They now have an angry, sad, wow, ha-ha, yay, and love button.
Something like that, yes.
Or that's what they're planning?
Yeah,
I don't know, Aaron, what do you think?
Yeah, I think they added more than just the like button. They added those.
Yeah, they wanted to make it more interesting.
That's right. Because we have so many more emotions in us than just like.
Aaron, you'll rekindle your love affair with Wisconsin cheese with a scrumptious selection of artisanal cheeses.
Did he lose his love affair with cheese?
He will rekindle his love affair.
But that implies that he lost his love affair with cheese.
Sharp cheddar, please.
Were you disappointed in cheese at a certain point in your life?
Sometimes you get a little
disappointed individual
in cheese.
Cheeses, yes.
Yeah.
Jeez, it's so passé these days.
get over yourself, will you?
I'm just trying to imitate a millennial, Michael.
What?
Doing a poor job of it, apparently.
Oh, they all say that stuff.
But, yeah, you'll get a scrumptious selection of artisanal cheeses chosen by the positively evangelical cheesemongers at Fromagination, located on Madison's historic Capitol Square.
Yes.
And then show your love for America's midsection wearing a T-shirt depicting a heart superimposed on a map of the Midwest from Ray Gunn of Iowa.
Oh, nice.
Indulge your artistic talents with Color Me Lucy, the official companion coloring book to I Love Lucy by Tom Watson from Running Press. And let the good times roll with What Do You Know the Party Game, including the always lovable Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing. Available exclusively at notmuch.com. Marianne, find out the meaning of Jews Close Lower in Light Trading and other mysteries in Michael Feldman's book, Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other, including the CD My Life, the Musical, as performed by John Seeger from Terrace Books. Then turn the experience of being put on hold by a computer into a fun time playing the easy-to-learn card game Tech Support from Kenzer & Company. Show your doggy some love with a pink pup's slider bandana from Stellaware.com and thrill to the remarkable combinations of Mexican folk music, ballet, and Billy the Kid on the CD What Do You Know About Copeland with Wild West liner notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Congratulations to both of you.
Well done. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Let's get some of that beer, man. Try some. That sounds really good. Marianne, hang on. We'll make sure you get this and get you back on, okay, on the road again. Thanks for playing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hang on, though.
Okay.
Did you have something else you wanted to add?
Oh, I have more things that I actually should have maybe unloaded more prizes. So
I don't think unloaded is the right verb, is it?
I don't know.
No. Bestowed.
Bestowed?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So in addition to all of those wonderful prizes, both Aaron and Marianne can also bring back memories of the loving Italian childhood they perhaps never had with a jar of Carmella's House Marinara sauce from Carmella's Italian Bistro in Appleton. So congratulations to both of them.
Anything else you want to throw in there? While you're,
sure. Should I keep
you're
going?
You're in a very generous mood here.
Keep bestowing? Yeah. Keep bestowing? Sure,
if it's not your stuff, you might as well just give it away.
Okay, so...
No, that's all right. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's time to say goodbye, isn't it?
It is. It's almost time to say goodbye. We have a little bit of time, though. So.
Okay. Well, I would like to say thank you for coming here today. Appreciate you in the cold and everything that's out there and the gravity waves. You brave those gravity waves in the cold. Thank you for coming to the show. Thank you for listening very much because it's the same gravity waves us all, hit us all. And boys in the band, as always, wonderful job, John and Jeff. What about that Stephanie Lee? We
looking to keep the laughs going? Click over to notmuch.com. You can join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at notmuch.com. Celebrate March Madness with What Do You Know? Join us at Monona Terrace for live broadcast
this
spring.
You do that.
Michael's guests will include writer Bill Bryson and the producer Frank Rich. More show dates and ticket information is available at notmuch.com. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Pope, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine with help from Brad Fulberg.
I should do that when I do something. Stephanie Lee.
PRI, Public Radio International.